welcome to another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. This is a podcast about storytelling, fatherhood, music, poetry, literature, the creative process, theology, and the perils of trying to live the good life. I am Jason Farley, author, teacher, pastor, and publisher at Jovial Press. Today, I want to talk about something that I find fascinating, exciting, and interesting that I came across and was reminded of again by John Milton in Paradise Lost. Paradise Lost is a wonderful Christian epic about the fall of mankind. Milton is one of the great minds of history, drawing together the three major traditions of the Western English-speaking world: the classical tradition with the Greeks and the Romans, the Hebrew Christian tradition with the Bible and the early church fathers, and the Anglo-Saxon Germanic tradition with all of the different poetry and poetic phrasing and stories of the Anglo-Saxon world. He draws them all together into this wonderful, enormous, thick epic that is worth all of the time and the effort that it takes to read and study and know and understand. And he starts off with Satan as the heroic figure that is going to move through the epic arc of the epic hero and get everything that he thinks he wants, and it's going to destroy him. It's this really amazing black comedic arc, and he's this very intriguing character, and he displays all of there is to display about temptation. And by studying it and knowing it and seeing and understanding it, there's a lot of wisdom to be learned about how temptation works, how our own self-justifications work. It's really a lot of good stuff in there. But what I want to talk today about is Adam and Eve, who are central characters, because it's the story of how Adam and Eve fall. He gets most of the biblical story correct. He's got some places here and there where he misses some details, but he's imagining the story of Adam and Eve into an enormous epic. So it's not a surprise that there are some places that he gets some things wrong. What's amazing, though, is how much he gets right, how much wisdom there really is there, as he gives the scripture such a close reading. The thing that really stuck out to me this time is when we get to the stories of the creation of Adam and Eve, we get the story told one time from Adam's perspective and another time from Eve's perspective. And what's really interesting is that they don't actually see the event the same way. Now, some people have read it and thought, oh, well, he just wasn't quite on it at that point, and he got some details mixed up and some details wrong. But I think when we read the story of Genesis, Milton is actually on to something really exciting and really amazing that is right there actually in the text, but we don't see because we don't give as close of a reading to Genesis 2 as Milton does. Adam and Eve look at the same event, and they have a different take on it. They have different perspectives. And it's not that the two of them that we have to choose between the two of them and say, well, was Adam right or was Eve right? What we have is two different perspectives on the same event that, when brought together, actually get us the real perspective on what actually happened. And that's what we see here in Genesis 2, is that Adam and Eve need to be brought together in marriage, and when they learn one another's perspective, they learn to hear one another, learn to communicate, learn how the other person sees the world, and learn how to combine those two perspectives in relationship, in matrimony, in communication, that reality itself becomes visible. Neither of them can see reality on their own. They can only see reality by each of them looking at the same thing and then communicating with one another and understanding one another's perspective. And in that communication between Adam and Eve, real true wisdom, real true perspective on reality is finally achieved. And we see this in Genesis chapter 2, where Adam is brought into the garden. God plants the garden, brings Adam in, and then he makes the trees all grow up, and he's teaching him how to be a gardener. And he's given him the task with this garden that's in the land of Eden of guarding it and gardening it, of keeping it and of taking good care of it and bringing it to its fruition, bringing it to what it's intended to be. Now, the thing that's really amazing, though, is that when the Lord God takes the man and puts him into the Garden of Eden in order to dress it and keep it, in order to garden it and guard it, he then tells the man that he can eat from everything in the garden, that it's all food except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that the day they eat from that tree, they're going to die. And then this is where the what I'm talking about that Milton sees is right here in the text. In verse 18, it says, "And then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, a helpmeet, suitable for him.'" Now, it doesn't say that God said that to Adam. It says that God said that, and Adam is not aware of it yet. Now, God makes Adam aware of it by teaching him wisdom, by bringing the animals past him two by two, until he learns, oh, he needs a helper. But he, we're told, is not able to do the job that God gave him on his own. Alone, without a helper, he can't accomplish the goal that God gave him. He is limited in his abilities and in his perspective, and so he doesn't have the wisdom that he needs to do what God told him to do. But God is going to provide that wisdom in Eve. Eve is going to be the storehouse of the wisdom that Adam needs to do the job that God gave him to do. And so God brings the animals by two by two, and then Adam says, oh, I get it. I don't have a helper. I need a helper. I need there to be a lady for me. And God says, good, you've learned that wisdom. But wisdom on its own is never enough. It has to be resurrection wisdom. And so God kills him, I mean, not literally, but figuratively, and then takes a rib out of his side, makes that rib into Eve, wakes Adam up, and Adam has gained enough wisdom now that he begins spouting poetry, right? He is turned into a poet with this new resurrection wisdom, and he begins declaring his poetry to Adam, or to Eve. Now you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He's been made into a poet by this sight of Eve. He's become wise like a poet. But what's amazing is at this point, the first threat doesn't come against the Garden of Eden, which he's told he needs to guard. It comes against the Garden of Eve. And he needs to stand up and defend Eve. He needs to become not just a poet, but a warrior poet. Defend Eve. And in learning to defend Eve, he will gain the wisdom that he needs to defend Eden, to defend the land that God has given him. Until he wins Eve to his side, gains her trust, learns what she sees, communicates with her well enough to see the world through her eyes as well as his own, and she learns to see the world through his eyes as well as her own, until they have that, they won't be able to do the thing that God gave them to do. Now, this is what Milton shows us so well in his story when Adam and Eve look at the same thing and don't have the same perspective. Because of sin, they aren't able to get onto the same page enough to communicate and see. Because of sin, they become rivals, and they don't gain the wisdom that they need to be able to finish and complete the task that God gave them. But in Christ, our marriages can be restored so that we do get on the same page. We do learn to communicate. We do learn to see the world through one another's eyes and come to a closer, wiser understanding of reality, of the way the world really is. I love the way Milton helps us to see the realities in the text of Scripture, and I just love the way Milton encourages us to want a beautiful marriage in which communication between husband and wife is valued, and this perspective of each spouse is valued, and that together they come to see the world the way it really is, the way that God made it, and have the wisdom to live well in the world that God made together. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk. If you're looking for more of the funk, you can check out my blog, which is also hosted on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You can find my books at Amazon, and you can visit Jovial Press for more. Thanks for joining me, and keep it funky, people.